Hey guys, it's George. I'm just doing a little pre-podcast here to let you guys know that we had actually filmed something in February, but unfortunately for us, it fucked up. I don't know, something with the audio, but tracks, audio problems. And here's March's podcast, but we just want to thank everybody for such an amazing and loving welcome to the beginning of the year. February has been amazing, and right now is March, and it's already just another amazing time to just be alive, really. I know it's kind of wild and bold to say, but it really is fun to be alive. You guys can see that I'm wearing Chicago Midwest Made. Chicago Midwest Made is going to be the ones doing the the tracks line for the official and the exclusive home of where you can buy tracks merch. More details to come, but for now, check out the show.
It says we're recording. Yes, we are recording. It's not going to be like last time when we tried to record over and over and over again.
No, you know, I'm pivoting the podcast today, and you know, I think what people really enjoy from me and you is that, like, you and I, like, know each other.
Yeah.
Like, to hear our, like, band, you know, just our back and forth, just, like, stripped back. I think that's what they really liked in the first show, that at some point you've lost, like, the sense that you were talking to, like, a camera. And so it just felt really natural.
Yeah, well, that's what we always do.
So I'm going to ask you just a bunch of... Today we're just going to go very... different, maybe, because we're not gonna talk too much industry, but we'll talk a lot about, like, the art that's coming out, why you do what you do, why we do what we do, what's pushing us, basically. Oh, the spring
sounds good to me. I am pissed off. My dog Mark got me this.
Oh, it's so cute.
I know, and the dog began chewing the tag.
When I got Chopo.
Yeah.
Like, she was a puppy. She stepped on a brand new pair of shoes that I had. And, you know, when I realized that I just loved the shit out of her was when I looked at her little feet and I said, oh, at least they're always forever on my shoe, and I never wiped it off.
Oh, really?
Her little paw still on there.
Oh, that's cool.
I know. I mean, that's like a lot of little stuff. It's kind of like that.
Well, I have the little teeth marks on my tag. The leather tag has teeth marks.
Isn't that true? Just like a lot of the bruises that, like, we end up getting on ourselves, they're always just on us.
Yeah, I guess that's true. When I was talking to my therapist today, he was saying that, you know, the main thing that he could see is because he watched the show, you know, when I did the live show at Laguna. And he said, the only thing that's really going to work for you is you got to perform. So all the other kind of crazy things and depression and try to take this or try to take that or smoke this or do mushrooms or whatever, none of it really works, but the performing does.
Yeah, anytime I make something, I get higher off that than any drug that I ever did. But it also brings me on a crack. You know, I don't know if you get this after you perform, but I get a depression right after the performance.
Well, see, I was starting to get that, but then what I did, which was really smart, is I went out into the crowd. And when I went out into the crowd, all these people, like, knew who I was, you know what I mean? It was just like, I forget that people know who I am, you know, because I just don't, like, look at myself that way. And so they were like, oh, Screaming Rachel, what are you doing here? Wow, da, it's great. You know, I've been following your career and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it was really pretty cool. A lot of people. And then other people that didn't know me just said, wow, you know, you were fantastic. What a voice. So
I try out for American Idol.
Yeah, yuck. I can't stand that. The Voice or American Idol. I don't like any of that stuff. I just don't like it. Not only don't I like it, but they pretty much own you after that. And you know, it's just not me. It's just not me. No.
We were talking about the other day, like, how crazy it is that now like for a lot of artists that if they want to get on something, if they got like on reality TV, they end up selling themselves. I don't know that I want to see some of these shows because it's so common at this point, but at the same time, it's like just because it's common isn't it right? But almost every show, big show, does it where like, come on the show, but we're going to own you 10 years after.
Well, that's what they do because they know that they're giving you lots of promotion. They know that they're putting millions of eyes on you, you know, so that's why they want to own you. It's kind of like even what happens if, let's say, you are in a different situation than we are with Sony Orchard. Because with Sony Orchard, we're still independently owned, so we could do whatever we want. Now, if they owned a big part of the record company, everything would be different. They would promote us a whole lot, but they would control what we were doing because that's what happens, you know. And what really happens with most performers is, especially, you know, good performers and stuff like that, is people want to own them. People really want to own them. And that is the whole problem with all of this stuff. It really just is. Oh, your voice went away. Oh, no. Uh-oh. What happened here? Oh,
but huh. Remember...
I think you were on the phone. Let's... Oh, no. Not this again. All right, let's see.
This recording.
Recording in progress.
Oh no. Ah. Now can I hear you?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, okay.
But see, it's got that echo. And before it didn't. So what do we do?
Are you on the computer and the phone?
Yeah, and when I got in just a computer, I couldn't hear you. So let's see, leave the meeting on the phone. And now I'm just in the computer, but I can't hear you. Not hearing anything. Turn up the volume. Let's see, volume. Oh, no, here. I've got the volume turned all the way up. Are you talking?
I can talk.
Oh, good, good, good. Now I'm hearing you. Okay, so now we're back to normal. All right. And I don't think we'll ever be normal, but we're back.
There's no more feedback?
No.
Okay, good.
So we're
but
good.
Yeah, what I was saying was, remember when in the beginning when I first was working with you, I was like, don't tell anybody I'm working with you. Don't put a name on. And it wasn't because I didn't like what we were doing or proud of it. It was just because I wasn't trying to like, because you know I was just starting off that I didn't want to confuse people with like one thing or the other.
You but, mean being a photographer or being a musician or being?
I was just a lot of stuff, you know, and that was the problem that like in especially back then people didn't understand that, or they didn't understand that people would have the need to have 8 different things going on at once, and it all would work out, you know. I still remember back in the day being like 2008 to like 2012 when people would be like, well, if you do more than one thing, you must not be doing all of them, right? But now every single person is doing everything as well, but just because we can't sit and like kind of do one thing only.
And besides that, I think like artists, I mean, if you look at artists that are happening today, you know, artists are doing a brand. They're doing merchandising.
Paris Hilton has that cookware line at Walmart now. That would have never happened 20 years ago.
Who has that?
Paris Hilton.
She has a cookware line? Well, there you
and
go.
It's cute. I like the little heart-shaped pan. I wish I had it, but it's kind of expensive. And I don't know. I'd rather get a Le Creuset, to be honest.
And then also, she's a DJ, you know?
Yeah, I mean... That's kind of the thing that happened, that all the celebrities took all the underground jobs, DJs, photographers. They took all those little jobs really away right away after, what, like 2013? Then they were bloggers and they were trying to do everything as right. well. But and... when we were doing it, we were just losers.
You can't do one thing right. We were losers. I got a lot of complaints.
Yeah, we knew we were fine, but you know, it was hard. It was like people didn't understand, so we had to separate things, compartmentalize them, and now it's just not like that at all. And it's very fast. You know, things move fast now. It's how people think and operate. Well, it's very open-minded.
Because we're in a whole different era of everything is moving so fast, people don't even like read things anymore. You know, all it is like this really quick, like the attention span is like boom, 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 you know, really like that. But hey, we do what we do.
Yeah. I mean, things are progressing so fast in good ways and innovations are just coming and coming faster and faster. So who knows? I mean, who's to complain that we're not reading 45,000 words just to get the context of what's going on, you know? But
I think so. Yeah. Who really cares? I mean, and when what's really great about this whole kind of new age is the fact that, you know, everybody can make records, everybody can make video. It kind of like levels the playing field, which is pretty cool. Now, the only problem with that in the music business is that basically there's so much out there that to be heard among all the din. That's the problem. Good thing we have a brand. If we didn't have tracks, to be heard among everything else is nearly impossible unless you want to or can spend a lot of money.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you went to the festival because you were able to kind of reconnect with like just people that you probably hadn't seen or never met you, get out of the house and remember who you are. You're like Cinderella.
Yeah.
One thing at home, one thing at the ball.
Exactly. Because I totally like, you know, I forget. And I think the whole thing is when other people who know me and who have seen me perform, they know that's my happiness. That's what I love to do. That's what I need to do in order to even stay somewhat sane. So I'm really excited because today is the official release date of Sensation.
I know. I'm so, you know, oddly enough, I told you this in private, but I've been really sick, obviously, this whole year, and a lot of shit's just been going on this whole year. But the one thing that I focused on mainly was, you know, keep going and just doing these artistic or creative projects because they made me happy. I mean, the color, I mean, it's all just very like a part of my DNA. So it's the only way that I can get through trauma. Just to remember like the fun aspects of things. So Sensation, when it came, it was just a kind of like a light that pushed through because we were dealing with a lot of heavy things. It was just fun. And we did the styling and it was fun. The videos, it was just fun. For the first time, I think in a long time, we just had fun.
And we didn't have to think too hard. We just kind of were creative and it all kind of gelled and people loved it. You know, I wish while we were doing the podcast, one of your great background videos could be playing. You know, I love that because when I look at myself live on stage with all the great background stuff you did for me, fantastic. It really added to the show.
I know that you deserve that whole, I mean, a lot of the things that I ended up learning how to do like visuals for stage were because we needed them and we weren't going to get the support maybe at that specific time from a person for free or whatever. So it's like, figure it out or have nothing on stage. How many times have we had that happen?
A lot. And then even with the music, like lately when I did this song with Greg Lyon from DJs for Good.
Yeah.
He's in France and I'm here. He said, oh, record all the vocals on your phone. So I recorded those vocals on my phone and you liked it so much, you think it should be the lead off to my album. So.
Well, now you're spoiling things, but yeah, that's okay. Well, it is. It's that easy. You know, when you know, and it's in our blood. We just, and I know when something just hits. I can't explain to anyone. It's like I get this bubbling in my belly and I hear it and I experience it. Even in like, I always tell you this, but I hear the song in markets, like swap meets and shit, because that's how widespread I already hear sometimes when I hear a song or new hit singles that we got going on. And that's not to say that those club, you know, 10-minute things don't matter, but it's a little different when we are able to invite everyone to the party and, you know, everyone just comes and is attracted to it. And that's kind of what Sensation is. It was just like, you can be 95 years old and you're still going to understand what you're experiencing.
Right. I agree with you. It's a kind of a, well, that's one of the things I like about, you know, vocal house music, or let's say, I don't even know, Chicago house music. It hits a lot of different ages and a lot of different cultures. And, you know, because when I see some of the acts that we work with and they're playing Ibiza, they're playing among some really wealthy people, like the DJs for Good. They're playing in a castle, things like that. I see that, and I see how our music can go from that to the ghetto, and everybody's still having a good time. It doesn't matter. Or even if you're mixing people up, that's even better. If you can say, hey, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or what you are, you know, religion, background, all that is kind of waved and gone.
Yeah, it's funny because of the Italian, you know, sometimes I get some Italians and I'm like, yo, how do you guys master the songwriting in English so well? Like, you guys don't even speak the language, but it's like you studied us for so long or something that you're able to just hit every little nuance so well. And like, it's wild.
Well, you know, one thing in other countries, and I knew this about France, is that they actually have to give acts initiatives to sing in their native language. Because a lot of countries, including France, people want, you know, American vocals. It's really just, I don't know. It's just a thing. And so like in France, they actually will, you know, finance some music because they want to keep the mother tongue, you know, happening. But yeah, the thing is, people from America that speak English, or people that speak English in general, they're lazy and they're lucky because, you know, other people have to speak our language, but we don't have to speak theirs.
Nah, and they got to speak the cool part of our language, which is a very difficult beast to tackle. It's all slang.
Well, that's true. That's true. They don't know all that yet. But they do pretty good for people that, you know, they're not from here, but they do.
They do better than a lot of the Americans. Sometimes I'm like, how are y'all making all this amazing English music and we can barely get it? This, like, well, I guess some people hear what's going to come out on tracks, they'll be like, whoa. But yeah, a lot of the stuff that's coming out, very vocal this year, very vocally driven. You know, in the past it was very like just no vocals. Everyone just would despise vocals for so long. And then you and I never were like that.
No.
So to see that shift when nobody wanted to work with vocals was weird. But hey, they came back already.
Yeah, it came back. And not only that, but that whole idea of hip house and rapping on a house record is just so huge now. I mean, a lot of people are doing it, where when it first started out, when Afrika Bambaataa and I did that on the first record with
Fun. How did that even happen? Because I know you've told this story, like you've done it and stuff, but how did that even manifest? Were you like at Little Caesars and then Afrika Bambaataa said, hey, Rach, come on over a rap?
No, what really happened was, you know, we were in the studio and I just said, Bambaataa, what if we took the two best street cultures, you know, New York street culture and Chicago street culture, and we brought it together, you know, the hip hop and the house. And he said, yeah, hip house. So, you know, he came up with that hip house.
How did you end up with all of them to begin with? How, and, like, you never really told me how you even fell into that.
How did I fall into the Zulu Nation and Sugar Hill and all that? Well, it was really interesting because when I was singing at a club that was really upscale called Tattoo, and it was very near the United Nations, the accountants from Sugar Hill found me. And they said, we don't really want you to sign to the label, because I think they knew they were going to finish the label off. So they said, but we would like you to be there and work and sing and do things. So I ended up at Sugar Hill. And when I did,
just like out of an invitation, like, hey, you're at the club, why don't you come and learn something from us? You could benefit from it.
I just, you know, it just seemed like a cool thing. And especially, you know, because when I met Sylvia Robinson, I mean, because she was an amazing woman. I mean, you didn't mess with her. She was a queen, and then beyond that, she was a bitch, but that's what I like about her. She was a queen bitch. However, She did have a soft side, but she just, you know what I mean? She ruled. She had a great voice. She could engineer. She could produce. You know, she came up with the whole idea about rapping on a record, because when she made Rapper's Delight, there was nothing like that.
And did you guys, like, hang out? Like, I imagine you were to her, maybe I was to you, but in a different way. I imagine you guys, like, hang out at home and shit.
Well, let me just say, I was the lone white girl in the whole mix. And some people didn't even know, like, how I got there or why I got there. But the point was, Bambada accepted me very early on and just said, treat Rachel with respect. She's the queen of house. So, you know, because I'd come from Chicago, I had just done Fantasy. And then I, you know, also released My Main Man. And what happened was, that's when people started thinking of me as the queen of house. And these people in New York didn't even know what house was at that time. But Bambada really, you know, said to accept it. Because
this was still at that time when people would talk shit about you at the clubs because of the house.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because many people thought house was really either stupid, dumb, you know, like a lot of the snooty East Village people, the intellectual types, you know what I mean? That thought, oh, we're so cool because we're performance artists, we're this, we're that, da 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 da. You know, and they're like, oh, God, she does this dumbass music that just is nothing. It's crap. It's not even music. So there was people like that. And then there was the people at Sugar Hill who were like, yeah, only gay people like that music, you know.
And that couldn't catch a break, could you?
So, no, it was like all, but like I said, Bambada told people, treat me with respect, and they did. And then, of course, you know, I got to be friends with people like Grandmaster Flash and Grandmaster Melly Mel and Dougie Fresh and Curtis Blow. And
for anyone listening to this who's trying to imagine, what is a day with Screaming Rachel and these people? What does that look like? I mean, I've seen it, but I think you should explain it to other people so they know that you're not just sitting in a room quietly with these people.
No, I think that, you know, first off, the cool part about it was that I was the only person who kind of interacted with all these different types of people. I was downtown with the club kids, you know, Michael.
By interact, you mean you literally just spoke to them like human beings. Yeah. You didn't treat them like aliens.
Partied together, interacted. Exactly. Yeah. And like, it wasn't, I could fit in anywhere. I fit in at the Bronx River Projects. I fit in with the, you know, Prince of Monaco, a tattoo, and the Rolling Stones. I fit in, you know.
Were you at the park that night when the go-go dancer was talking to us after our set?
Yeah. Where was that?
At the Cock in New York.
Yeah, I think I do remember that.
My whole point of bringing this up was that this is one of those points where, like, Rachel and I are just here. We finished our set. No one was coming near us. Not one soul. But this one go-go boy just said, I'm kind of lonely and you guys seem nice. So it's like we were all there, like, super, like, our clothes is up to here, basically, because it was cold. And everyone in there was, like, naked because they were fucking in the bathroom. And then comes the go-go boy. And so it's like all of us just up to here and one lone go-go boy being like, I like you people. You're nice. And we want nothing, like, sorted with him. We were just like, yeah, go ahead, sit down.
And I guess that's it. I do think that we're welcoming to all people and don't have an attitude about people. If anything,
remember that girl in LA who we thought that she knew all of us, or like she knew one person or another, and she ended up getting a free dinner, and she ended up going from downtown all the way back to Los Feliz to that diner.
Oh yeah,
no one questioned her. No one said, "Who are you?" We just said, "Oh yes, just sit down, eat. We'll pay for it too. Why not?"
That's true. Sometimes people are great crashers. I mean, you know, we have one of our artists who crashed the Grammys. I absolutely love it. I don't know if she'd be happy if we mentioned who she was, but I think it was pretty fabulous because there she was with Oprah. There she was with Beyonce. She didn't even know who Beyonce was because when Beyonce had that cowboy hat and everything, you couldn't really tell. So Grammy crashing, that's one way to do it. And it's kind of fun. I mean, and I guess people have crashed us. And we have crashed others. So, yeah, all in all.
Yeah, we are pretty, I mean, we are pretty easy to talk to. I'm not going to lie.
And I think that's a great thing. I think that's a great thing because I don't, you know, that was the thing, too, is that the people, what I guess I was trying to get at when I said how I interacted with all these different crowds was that they never came together with their crowds. It's like the club kids would never go to the projects in the Bronx. You know what I mean? And then the people at Tattoo would be horrified if the club kids would come there. So it was kind of all, and then, you know, when I played at like some of the really, you know, outrageous clubs, like let's say when we were doing the Roxy, which was really hot, you know, Alice in Wonderland night and all those kind of things. They got angry because I mentioned house music on fire. They said,
why? What was their reasoning?
Because they said that will attract the wrong people. And do you know what they meant by the wrong people?
I mean, I do. But you can spell it out to the audience. That's what we're really doing at this point, spelling some of these things out. Because I don't think they get it.
Yeah, because the whole thing was they were racist. And what they were saying was you are going to attract that crowd that we don't want. And we are not going to put up with that. In fact, I almost got fired from doing that gig that I did that you have the great pictures of where I'm with all the dancers and it was at the Roxy. And it was a really quite a big deal, but I almost lost the gig because of mentioning house music. Because like I said, the people, I don't know, but you know, a lot of them didn't come together. But now I think, you know, many people are starting to come together and that's good. I think people want to come together, whereas I think the government is trying to tear us apart. Which is sad.
I don't know who's trying to tear us apart, but someone is trying to tear us apart. You can tell, but I don't think it's working. I really feel like now, unless you pay attention to the news, most people are just very united. Even we with Trax, everyone's really united. They're all from different places, all these new artists.
Oh, God, Lee's from Texas,
D-Beat's from Italy. Then we have... the guys in Spain were doing those remixes for up front. Then we have Suki in LA. I mean, there's just a list goes on and on where people are based.
I was looking at some of these contracts of where these people are from, all these different places. It's great. And then when I talk to like Hervé and Paul, which do some work with us, so Paul's going to be doing some vinyl, and Hervé has been interested in the label for a long time. He said, everywhere I go in the world, if I mention Trax, people are like, oh, Trax, it's a legend. It's so great. You know, they, in other words, get a tremendous amount of credibility. They're happy.
If you see me and Rachel down walking down the street, just say, good job, kid.
Or say hi, at least. Don't put up your nose, you know, or something.
Don't
like
throw
that.
No tomatoes.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, that's.
No, that's never happened. That's never. Honestly, most people have given us so much love.
I think we do get a lot of love, and I think we give a lot of love, and I think that's really what I want to do. I think, if anything, you know...
It's the only reason the labels get gotten as big and as continue to live for this long, because the artists, they love Trax, yes, but if you and I weren't actively at least having some sort of mission and trying to prove to people that we're just trying to, like, continue living and pushing their art, you know, these new artists, then they wouldn't come back and back and back, and everyone stays. And most people believe.
Well, I think they realize that we are very unusual because we don't sign people. And I've said this so many times, because of TikTok numbers or Instagram numbers or anything like that. We really just judge the music. And it's not like, you know, where I had one of the big companies that wanted to take us over, you know, just saying, oh, you have to get rid of D-Beat. Why? Because they have beards. They look old. They have beards. We can't have people like that on the label. And I'm like, what are you? You're crazy. This is not going to work. You know, this wasn't going to work. They actually still wanted to be my partner, but they wanted to take control of everything. And I just had to say, no, give back the money. And because it was bullshit. The stuff people say behind closed doors, at least some people, not the majority of the cool people, music, or the artists. But, you know, the people that are the puppet masters behind the artists, they're such fucking users. It's sad. They are users. They use artists. And they just, you know, their idea of how they look at an artist, you know, somebody has a beard, that means they can't be on the label because they think the beard makes them look old. And so, therefore, they're not cool. And no, we can't have them. Now, this guy was like, they're wearing Trax t-shirts at an event in Ibiza and you're letting them do that? Oh my God, that's so bad for the label. Like, fuck them, you know? But
Everything's bad, but like, oh my God.
I know.
All these men talk to us like, I don't know how, what sometimes. It's like, am I your wife? Am I your bitch? Like, do you really think that like I care about what you have to say?
That's
the, like, don't get it. They don't get it. Like, their unsolicited opinions just come constantly to you and I.
Yeah, and it's just the weirdest thing because
they say the weirdest things. Yeah, they say weird shit.
I have had some of the most, you know, what I consider to be racist, sexist, like stupid, you know, like things like, oh my God, like I told you, it's kind of, you know, again, here we go with a little bit scandalous. But, you know, when somebody said, well, you need to be replaced by smiling black faces because you can't be the president. No, you're a woman, you're white, you got to go. So even though I did all that work and even though the artists, I think, really like me because I love the artists, these people that wanted to pull the puppet strings, they had a different idea. And besides that, all they wanted to do was use those black artists, just to use them to try to say, oh, here we are, we're like, you know what I mean? They were trying to say, oh yeah, this is the time of George Floyd and all that, so we're, you know, showing that we're this. But they're not that, because they're thieves. They're bullshit.
It's a marketing ploy.
It is, and that's the whole thing. People being used to market because of their skin color, it's horrible, really. And people being, you know, thrown out because of their skin color or because they're a woman. And that's another thing. So many people, because being a woman, you know, they always say, like, stick to being an artist. You're a great artist. But don't, you know, you running a label, you know, don't. And though if I didn't, then what about these artists? Nobody else would really understand them. You know what I mean? You do. I do. But they don't understand you or me. So if we didn't do what we did, what would
That's
happen?
Crazy how no one can understand you when they can't get their way out of you. Huh? Suddenly it's, oh, suddenly I'm crazy. Suddenly I can't speak or communicate.
I guess that's really true. If, you know, but it's kind of weird because people, you know, I guess they say, oh, you don't live up to my expectations. What are their expectations? Their expectations are what they want. You know, I guess that's really it. And I don't know. I just.
Yeah, that's a bit, yeah. That's what people struggle with sometimes with tracks, that we really are so innovative. We are just so forward thinking, from the way we do business to the way that we constructed the label to how we're even moving forward today. It's not like a lot of people are moving in our direction. So no, to sit around and explain this to some folks, it's like trying to talk Portuguese to a Chinese man. Yeah, we'll get nowhere.
And especially when these people say stuff like, we have a better way, you know, because I'm like,
start your own label then.
Yeah, well, the thing. I'm talking to the guy from Tap, you know, as we know, Lana Del Rey, and Dua Lipa left him because of a money dispute. And, you know, I'm saying, like, why don't you leave my little label alone? Our artists are happy. I'm happy with them. We're happy just being this little label that we are. Why do you want to take over the label? And his answer was, because we have a better way. Yeah. So there you go. What is that better way? And then I said, well, why don't you...
Too bad they can never find out, huh?
No, we'll never find out because we're never going to let them do that. But the point is, then I said, well, why don't you just do it yourself? You've got this big company and tons of money and all these big artists. Why do you need to try to take away Trax? It became like an obsession. It's so weird. These people want to obsess and they can't stand the way we do stuff. They really resent it, which is, I don't know.
Yeah, I love that though. I do love the watching form around and be like, how is it that you guys are getting by? Like, well.
Oh. And you know, exposing some great new music and great new talent that probably wouldn't even get found because they don't have money to buy followers and to, you know, promote like crazy and do all the things that you have to do in order to be seen. Because really, you know, that's another thing. I've been inside these major labels because even though I never wanted to be on one, I've dealt with all the people and been in the offices and see what they do. And basically how they instruct the people who work there is they say, okay, we want you to look all over TikTok and Instagram and just look. It's not like we want you to listen to the music. Just look to see who has the biggest numbers. And that's who we want you to contact. They don't even listen to the music. See, that's a thing that people don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm so excited for everyone to watch this here. Like, what spectacle we're cooking up. Because, like, just sonically, the music is all like, holy fuck. About some of the cuts on your album that are coming up, like the Kitty song. Our acid trip, like that shit's gonna go like I, like, am incredibly all over the place as soon as it comes out because you can't stop shit like that, and I know that I feel it everywhere in my body.
And I like that about you, George, because you're just as different as me. That's why we get along, because we're both
well. Maybe you don't want to pile yourself along with me.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not human.
Well, everybody thinks I'm not human. They think I'm a bad bitch. I don't know. I don't know what they think of me, but all I know is everybody wants to remove me. Let's put it that way. Not the artists, but, you know, all these business people. Their goal is to get me out of the label so they could run it because they have a better way.
Yeah. And by the way, everyone has to understand when we say stuff like this, it's literally like sometimes we can't even get a simple like article put up because someone in the boardroom is saying, we don't like her, so don't print it. Definitely. Even if it's nothing to do with you, it's maybe about a new artist or this or that. It's very, very instant for us, the hit of not being liked. It's not like we're just saying this and it's like, oh, our feelings hurt. No, it's more like we get stopped from even going to certain places or things because from the JIT, it's like, no. So it prevents growth from occurring as fast and as naturally as it could because instead we're having to be like, very grassroots still, even though we're not grassroots in the sense that, you know, we have enough of a following where we don't have to be like that. But even on our Instagram, our Facebooks, we didn't buy any of the followers.
No.
Not once has any person been paid to like that. Not once have we ever ran a marketing campaign for people to like any of our posts. People came to everything naturally. It started from zero. So if you see 35,000 people liking tracks, that's because 35,000 people went and did that on their own. Which you can't buy that.
No, but people buy big numbers. But yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the same. And I think also, you know, we've had magazines, certain people threatened to sue magazines because they wrote nice articles about us. So they'll go that far where it's like, you know, stop them at any cost. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, I don't know, but
yeah, because really, when with like Instagram and Facebook being capped, that means that those 35,000 people who want to know what we have to say or putting out, Instagram, Facebook, whatever other company that social media point at this space, even caps that from being seen. They only give it to like 5% of the audience, so only like a small fraction gets to see what's happening, and then you have press also trying to not maybe write about you because something happened. And, you know, it can be very hard is what we're getting at for tracks.
It can be. But on the other hand, I think that what we miss, I know I miss this, because when I went out and performed in front of all those people, what we miss is that there's so many people out there that really have love for us. And that,
don't give a fuck about all this drama.
Yeah, they don't. And as a matter of fact, that was one of the things that this guy Hervé said. He said, you know, when I'm in Switzerland, you know, all that drama that people said this, that, you know, we don't even have to talk about that because it's boring. But he said, none of that matters to those people. They're not thinking about that. And all these great new people like that are working with us, there's tremendous people from around the world that are working with us, and people that write letters saying, thank you, you've, you know, this is my dream come true to be on tracks. It's amazing. And it's
speaking
great.
Speaking of which, thank you to DJ James Anthony for sending over that vinyl of Move Your Body to us. He's the host of a show on SiriusXM, Studio 54 is a channel. He's going to send us more stuff and information on him, so we'll share that on our socials. But he's one of those people. He was giving away all these copies of Move Your Body on Instagram, and he tagged tracks. And I saw that. I'm like, fuck, we don't even have Move Your Body because this, or I almost said it, but someone misplaced the record was being lent.
Yeah. Let's just say that
the city of Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago Cultural lost the first edition Move Your Body, you know, or stole it, or someone did, but it's gone. I mean,
Pawn Star.
This is like crazy, the stuff that it happens. But
yeah, but thankfully James was able to send us a copy,
yeah,
and sign and everything. And you know, it said beautiful words, because he's like, you know, I've known you guys since you were a kid, or I was a kid, and I've just been following you guys, and thank you for everything you've done. So little things like that just make a huge difference in our day.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that. And there's a lot of people that, you know, love the new music. And there's a lot of DJs out there that are, you know, really becoming big names that love the music and pump the music. And I think that it's easy to lose track of that because, you know, you're not omnipotent. You're not everywhere all at once like God supposedly is. So you kind of can lose track of what's really out there that's happening, you know, and sometimes focus too much on, you know, just stuff that's around you and the people that are around you that are trying to take you down. So, you know, today's also International Women's Day. And so I made a little post on Facebook where I just said, you know, if people call you a bitch because you're doing things that are really right for you, that will help you, you know, don't let it get you down.
Be a bitch.
Yeah, you know, be a bitch if you have to. And that's the whole thing, because I think that's a part of being a woman, is that if you are striving too hard, you're a bitch. If you are doing too much, you're a bitch. You shouldn't be in charge, because women aren't supposed to do that. Otherwise, if you are, you're a bitch.
I mean, this is for anyone listening to this, maybe you can relate. If you're creative and you have these problems with people around you, your family, I don't know who they are in your life, but I've had situations, even Rachel can attest to this herself. Come, you do something amazing, and you come back home. No one gives a fuck. They don't even care to listen to the song. You turn it off for 2 seconds. Can you turn it off? I'm watching TV. Oh, that's nice. Oh, you think you're all high and mighty because of your little label stuff? Oh, you think you're all high and mighty because you have projects? You know, it's like everyone gives you that shit. And I'm sure our other artists listening to this probably get the same flack. Who the fuck do you think you are? Who are you? Well, motherfucker, who am I supposed to be? Nothing? Not care about myself enough to think that I'm amazing? I'm just supposed to sit here and pretend I'm what? You know what I mean? Like the other side of it makes no sense.
And I do think most artists do go through that in one way or another. People try.
I think they don't talk about it. I talk about it because everyone needs to know. People are jerks.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know why that is, but I think it's some form of jealousy in a way, because maybe it's because we're so free that we'll try things, we'll do things, and we don't let things stop us. And people are actually probably afraid to go that far, or afraid to open themselves up to creativity, because maybe they think, hey, I'm not good enough. But you know, you'll never know. You know, art is subjective. Who knows?
You and Africa Bambaataa and the Zulu Nation, had someone told you, oh, that's not the right look right now, listen, you gotta do this, is on trend, you would have never sat in that studio, you'd never gone to Sugar Hill, you would have never done all those things.
Absolutely.
You would have had those friends, those friendships.
Oh, yeah. And besides that, I remember when, a really kind of well-known guy in Europe, this guy Mahesh Bajaj, said, "You can't be house because you're white." I mean, crazy shit, like stupid shit. What? I mean, that would be like telling a black person you can't do rock and roll when they literally invented rock and roll. Isn't that what happened? That is what happened.
It's what I mean, yeah. To anyone listening to this, if you get this shit all the time, we get it. And we're successful.
Yeah, so.
So don't give up because the bullshit comes from everyone and anyone. Delusion comes from within.
Yeah, and it's, I think that as you reach more and more people, then you begin to know there's a broader view out there of you, and you got to, keep your eye on that. You know what I mean? Or just feeling it. I mean, is really what is the biggest reward is feeling what you do. I think so. I mean, you know.
Yeah, because right now what's going on with art with us personally, like at Tracks, is astounding. We have so many little micro things going on, like in Italy, like here in the United States, even in Mexico, there's a huge resurgence going on with specifically house, like the kind that we're used to. And
It's true.
it's like beautiful because it's all coming from little tribes of people. They're not like the 200, they're not huge groups of people. But those tiny little groups are driving huge, huge cultural moments right now, including us with Italy. Because what's going on with all our artists in Italy is really astounding.
It is.
We
It's
don't see that here in the States.
no, we don't. And that's what first made house music great. You know, if anybody has to go back and say, "Well, what was it like when you, Marshall Farley, Jesse, all of you guys started this thing?" And what it really was that we really believed in the music and all worked together, which is what they're doing in Italy now. And what's amazing too is Nashville. It's like house music's been around all these years, but Nashville is finally going to have a house music club. This is like, it didn't have one. This is like to them, I don't know, they're not jaded. It's just real cool to them. And there's, and they're like kind of not, I wouldn't say fighting to do electronic music, but let's just say a guy like Thad, when he first met me, he was considered an oddball because he was doing electronic music. Nobody else was, you know? And so that's how we caught on together. But then, since meeting Thad, I've met a whole bunch of these little underground people that are doing electronic music out of Nashville. And then, they're opening the house club in Nashville. And there is a scene happening. And what's really cool about it is the people are not jaded. I think what happens is, I don't know.
Well,
It's
you're right, because Zumob is a good example of that. He's the one who was able to assist you in getting into the music festival and performing, because unfortunately, I don't know, maybe fortunately or unfortunately, but you know a lot of famous people, but they're not calling a company on your behalf. I'm like, please hire her. She's great. It's always a small person that does it,
Yeah,
like
well,
Zumob.
what it really is, you got to get an agent or a manager or something, or you really have to put yourself out there. And I think one of the problems I've had is I'm so busy working on other people that I don't work enough on me. But in a way, that's okay because it's coming around on its own, And what was really cool too is that, my God, all those people at the festival, a lot of young people and young DJs and they are so into house music and they're like, "Man, you're the real thing. We know Screamin' Rachel and Trax Records. You guys are like it, like, 'cause to them, it's just like, wow, this is the coolest thing ever." And they
If
want.
anybody hears this and says, Rachel, it sounds like you don't believe it. It's just because Rachel and I are not living day to day hearing this stuff. We
No.
get probably told we're pieces of shit more often than anything throughout the day. And
Yeah.
it's real. We have a hard life because we're so excluded from our creation. We have to. We have to, because if not, it wouldn't thrive the way it does.
And I think too, you have to, I mean, it takes a lot to do what we do. I mean, you have to work a lot on the creative end, and I have to work on the creative end and, you know, working on my new album and all that. But at the same time, have all the pressure of all the legalities and everything that goes on, because people, you know, don't even realize all the things that go on behind the scenes that you just have to shake off. So instead of...
Shake off. That's a good way of putting it, because what people don't realize about someone like you is that you're having to deal with all this shit, and then you're having to write a really good song and perform and make an album all in the middle of that. Some people have one catastrophic life event happen to them and they shut down for years.
Yeah. You
personally, within the past year, have had like five, and I'm not talking about small, I'm talking about deaths. I'm talking about like things you wouldn't wish upon anyone, and we're still here having to just, in a way, push through the trauma, because what else is to it, really? Die and be sad, or create and live on?
I gotta do what I believe in, you know, a long time ago. So I've had so many opportunities to just sell out, because that's what people want me to do. But instead of doing that, I just don't, and I follow my heart and my own ambition of thinking I'd rather have this cool little label and work with these cool people in Italy, these cool people in Nashville. I'd rather think about, we're going to find people who want to do the tracks tour. That'll come about, you know. Probably, who knows, maybe there's some cool agent who's listening to this and thinking, wow, that would be an awesome thing. Because, you know, we still have classic people that we work with, you know, definitely the Joe Smooth and L.A. Williams and other people like that, that we keep in touch with, that would be great on the tour. And basically, you know, all these new people are going to be fabulous. But the thing that is really kind of, I don't know, is that most people will do anything for money. Let's face it. It's sad. And a lot of artists can be bought so easily. That's sad, too.
Because we're starving.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But sometimes,
it's hard when you're dying to eat.
This is true. But sometimes, like, you know, even when I had no money and all kinds of things that I can relate to, of people even having to buy me dinners and this, that, and the other. But even so, I've had to give back money and turn my back on it, because I just don't want to sell my soul. You know, I just don't want to do that. And I just,
you and I are very lucky. We're free. You and I have a life of freedom, creative freedom, mental freedom. The problems that we have are self-afflicted, basically, because I don't have to work with you or do anything with you. I choose to. And if there's hardship that comes out of that, it's just situational. But it's nothing compared to what it would be like. And I know this from that. You would know this too. When you work with bigger companies, it's very controlled. Like you said in the beginning, you can only do this, you can only do that. Even down to colors you choose sometimes are picked out for you ahead of time.
Oh, totally. I mean, I've seen people, you know, putting together things for companies where they'll go, oh no, the blue has to be on top. No, it can't be the white on top. It must be the blue. You know, just things that are so esoteric and really shouldn't even matter. And the things that they think about, I don't know. But all I know is I hate that kind of control. I love total freedom and freedom to do whatever kind of music. Some people would probably hear some of the music I create and say, what the fuck is she thinking? But then some people will think, I don't know. I mean, you know, I just do what I like. And the fact of the matter is, whether
that it's possible, you are a living testament that you are able to do what you want to do, how you want to do it, even if it doesn't look all rosy and amazing all the time or feel like it, you're still living your dream.
True. And there are people that would like to stop me, but I'm living my dream because I'm doing what I believe in. Just like when I told that Ben Mawson, hey, you know, why don't you do your thing? Because I'm so happy doing mine. I'm happy with my artists. Or like even when another person said, oh, because I was saying how, you know, we have an army of artists that are so supportive and that really love us and we love them, and we're all working together towards doing some great things now and towards, you know, touring and towards doing gigs together and certainly creating, because I've always loved to create. You know, going on stage is kind of the apex of it all, because that makes me feel really good. because the people are giving love and I'm giving it back. But still, the creative process is something that I just totally love. And so to have people try to step into that, I've had people try to tell me how to dress, what to sing. No, I'm not going to do that. I had people try to say, we're going to control every photo that you release, all your social media. You can't give an interview unless we okay it. I'm not going to do that for any amount of money. And I don't know why these people can't just do their own thing. People want to literally buy a legend. That's what they want, to buy a legend, not create their own, buy it.
It's lazy. It's lazy.
It is, because if they've got such a better way, they don't need me. I mean, they don't really need me. They don't. I mean, they've got plenty of money. They've got some of the biggest artists in the world. Why are they obsessed with tracks? But they are. It's strange. It's really strange. But on the other hand, I guess it's great to see that it inspires so many people to help us out and to work with us. And we've got such great people. You know, I really think like Zumob and ThadX and so many people, Lee McNeil, just tons of them, you know. And I wish they could all get along, but Luca and Carmelo and, of course, D-Beat, because they're doing so much for us. But basically, you know, they're just like a little tribe or something.
And that's all we have, a tribe of like-minded rejects in a way. Yeah. Because even we don't fit into the dance music industry. Fuck?
No, not at all. Oh my God. You know, not at all. And that's
how many times have you and I heard your music is not what's played at the clubs? What the hell is played at the clubs? Because the last time I've been there was Katy Perry remixes and Britney Spears remixes.
I don't know.
What does that even mean to me at this point? But that's what's fabulous about us. We don't need to fit in anywhere. We have our groups. We have our people. People want to come to our things and listen to our music. So if you don't get it.
Yeah, other people do. So that's all that counts. Around the world, they do get it. And there are, but the guy that said, you know, that I said, we have this whole little, like, little army of people that we work with that are great, that we all believe. He said, oh, well, then why don't you let us be tracks and you be something else? It's like, oh, you want to, it's so necessary for you to be tracks. It doesn't matter that we have all these great people that want to be with us. No, you should be tracks and our army should be something else, because whatever. They're not good enough to be part of your army. They've got to be whatever.
Oh, no, they sound crazy to me. These are crazy people.
They do, but I don't think most people would know, because I guess the fact of the matter is that I've been privy to be in so many different situations and really meet the people that pull the strings, you know, the big people that really run stuff, and see what their attitudes are like and see what they do to people. How I just consider them to be basically users, manipulators, you know?
Yeah, hard, because that is the circumstance that we're under. And like, unfortunately, like, all we're trying to do is just make a little bit of money, retire, have health insurance, like stupid stuff like that. We're not trying to amass like the seventh house on the shore.
No.
But these people do really keep not just us, but real, actually talented people from sustaining themselves based on things they're really good at.
That's true.
It's based on things that aren't even true or have any merits to them. It's just opinions.
It's quite sad. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, we got our own little revolution going on. We're doing what we do. We're not letting anybody stop us. We have a lot of people that believe in us. And that was one thing I said to the people, too, that wanted me to be their partner, but, you know, not be in charge and them sign all the acts. And we have nothing to do with it because I have bad taste. Oh, my God. So, you know, it was kind of like then I said, well, what will happen to all these artists that I'm working with now? Well, they got to go, you know. And I said, well, that we can't do that. I cannot let them down because they're not letting me down. So that's the whole thing. And
yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, it's unbelievable that people think that way. It's sad. But on the other hand, there's people like us that don't give a fuck, and that's good.
It's just that we would love someone with a little bit of bigger money to at least, a few shekels.
Yeah,
help organize. Even like the Zoom app thing where he helped you get a gig is big. That's kind of what the point is. Like, people who have the capacity to really affect change, not only for me and you, but even if it's just somebody on the label, they don't, or they actively keep it from us, which in turn prevents us from being able to grow at the rate that we would naturally grow if people just weren't being assholes, basically. So it just takes us 7 times more the effort than it would someone else sometimes to really push through. But it's okay. I mean, we always make it through.
That's true. And I think that, you know, if I would look back at the origins of Tracks and think about it, now everybody thinks we're genius. We did this, we did that. Man, we never had promotion. We never were on the Billboard charts. None of that. We weren't any of that. While all the other labels were promoting their acts and doing this and that. In fact, even at a time when vinyl was out or somewhat out, and everybody was making CDs, Trax didn't even do that. You know, Trax skipped that whole part. You know what I mean? CDs were made, but other people licensed our music and made the CDs. We really didn't. You know, we made our box set, you and I, but that was unusual because usually the only people who make all these box sets and everything, they're just other people, you know? So that's the thing. That's why some of it is shitty, you know, and it's not to our standards. But, and that's the thing. Everybody wants to sit back and say, oh, it's just the easiest thing to do is to just rest on your laurels, be an elephant's graveyard label, and go like that. But that's not where we're at. We have such a bigger vision. Thank God.
Even if we did that and we collected, like if I sat here and I received a check every single month for 300 grand and all I did was just the same album over and over again to sustain it, I would feel dead inside.
Well, that's why I've always turned down the money, because I know that there will be a part of me that will feel dead inside.
Die.
Yeah, that would die. Because what would I do? I mean, I then will have to listen to these people, and every day, still to this day, all these people trying to control me, and I don't let them. And they're furious to this day that I just don't let them. And that's the thing, though. I mean, money hasn't been the lure. And I guess because really, I know what the bottom line is. You lose yourself. You lose being able to do things your way. I mean, this Patrick Moxey, who was the president of all electronic music for Sony, and he left Sony. But one of the conversations we had, he said, I really admire you and respect you in a way, Rachel, because you are doing what you believe in. And that is why he actually left the company, left the presidency, left all that behind. Now he's still working with another big thing. But, you know, basically he's doing kind of like what Trax does, where he's working with a label, but they don't own him, because he was in a situation of being owned. And he knew the difference. You know, there's a lot of things I don't get along with him, but there's some things I do. And it fascinates me that some of the biggest people in the music industry, they kind of, I don't know, they respect, but not only that, I think in a way, deep down, they envy it a little bit because they don't have that freedom.
You know? Yeah, and if anyone's listening to this, it's all possible. You don't have to give anything up. If you really believe in it, you will find other like-minded people by yourself. It won't be today or tomorrow, but give it time and don't give up. I mean, Rachel and I have been working for the past 15 years almost, just trying to reestablish so much of the brand and the label to what it is today. And to some, it's like, oh, well, it happened overnight. No, it took so much work. You have no idea. how much work it takes.
And the thing is, because we did that, now everybody wants to take it. When it was, when everybody wouldn't answer the phone or didn't know who we were, nobody cared. Nobody wanted track. Then suddenly, because of all the work we did, everybody's the wolves are at the door. I want it. I can do it better. Sell it to me. Give it to me. If I have to sue you to take it, I will. Whatever I have to do. But that was all on the basis of all the work that we did. Because remember, nobody else cared. We weren't even looked at.
I know, I know, I know. And really, you know, our story is not unique.
No.
It's just that we're actually at least talking about it. No one else talks about it this profoundly because they feel that it would expose you and no one wants to work with you. No one wants to work with us anyways. Might as well talk about it.
Right. And that's the whole thing is that I guess I have exposed some people's names in the industry, but, you know, I don't care because they've got an attitude about me anyway because I don't do what they want me to do. So it really doesn't matter. And I think that people need to know these people that they look up to, these people that they think, oh my God, if I could only talk to so-and-so, I know he could, you know, I've had some good friends actually say, can you hook me up with this? You know, cause they know I know this person or something. And I just kind of like warn them, like, you really don't know what you're bargaining for here. And they don't know what the reality is.
Yeah, you have to be really careful what you wish for because sometimes when you get it.
It turns out to be. I've had that happen too, where I've believed some people because they try to sell you like, oh, you're the greatest, we love you, da, da, da. As soon as they get you to sign that contract, everything changes. Everything.
Yeah, and that's, we're so adamant. Like anyone that's on the label today and just since we've been together, we don't like to lock people down.
No.
In that sense.
They're not locked down. Everybody goes project by project. They can go anywhere. It's not.
And we encourage that. We help people even look for other places. That's how open we are.
And that really is a great thing because everybody else tries to lock you down. I recently had a situation of being locked down in something and people actually using like a bargaining thing to make me do what they want, you know? And it's kind of sad because, yeah, people just, man, they want to tie you up and then they'll do, you know, and then I can't let them hurt the other artists and tie them up to it. So, you know, that's the way it goes. But yeah, we don't really do anything where we tie an artist up. We do project by project, and that's what we do. And most of the time, everybody wants to come back because they like what we do. But
and another thing to add to that, when Rachel says project by project, that doesn't mean that if it sells not that much, we're not going to sign you again. No, because even then we're like, it's still such a good song. Maybe it didn't hit now, but it will in 10, 20, 15 years. For me and Rachel, this is real estate. This is like forever. We're not looking at a day. We're looking at a landscape.
That's exactly true, too, because some of the people really aren't doing that well. But if it's music that we believe in, we're still there for them. And I think that, and they're there for us. And that's the whole thing. Because remembering, you know, people just don't even know all the things that Trax went through, how it basically was never even promoted. And now how everybody thinks, oh, it's a legend, it's great, it's, you know, all these things. And then how, when you and I came back into it, nobody cared, and suddenly we did all the work we did, then everybody came like wolves at the door. It's a strange industry, and I think it's kind of great that we are thinking about what could happen in the future. Because I can tell you now that some of the stuff that we have, you know, like Boom Boom, which was a very unknown record, something that you discovered, and something Kanye West discovered. And Drake discovered, and they fought over it. But the point of the
matter, they found it for me, everybody.
Right, that's true. So there you go. There is stuff that record sat there for years and years and years, and nobody thought about that record. And suddenly everybody saw how hot it was. And so you don't know, you know, you just don't know. Or it's like that Finding Sugar Man that I told you about, that documentary. I love it. Because it's about a guy who probably sold 25 records in the United States only to find out he got discovered, you know, in Africa and became this huge pop star, but he didn't even know he was, you know?
True. I mean, what you just said is so right, because, I mean, it's not that I'm looking for this credit, but when I put together like all those first 4 to 5 compilations, it was really about diversifying that top 10 that was on every CD, right? Because even you said it, they were putting on the same bloody songs on each CD. So it was just about exposing more of the label. And that's what I had told you. It was like doing it in a fun way. But then, I mean, I told you I want to do it because I know people will hear it and this and that, and with time it'll grow. And it did. Each and one of those albums, different artists, big artists, used at least one song, or if not two, off each of those albums or compilations that I put together. And no one had to tell me. I didn't like look for their reward. I knew that it was going to happen. And that was my reward, to see Teyana Taylor opening up the VMAs to, you know, when they did Fade. Like, that was my reward, because that's what we're doing. We're contributing to society as a whole by just being out there.
Yeah, and you just never know. I mean, things hit who knows when, but sometimes this little obscure record will become the biggest thing out there just because it's a great record and it might have been overlooked. And a lot of great music is overlooked, which is sad, but that's why it takes people who really believe in it, expose it, care about it to make that happen. That's the thing. And there needs more people. I remember when I first started out making licensing deals for tracks, I guess in a way I could say I was responsible for those same 10 songs being used over and over again. Because when nobody even knew what tracks was, and we didn't even have CDs for people to listen to, I'd say, well, you got to hear Move Your Body, you got to hear, you know what I mean? I'd say those 10 or something songs over and over again to people, got to hear those. And so they believed me, because when it's so weird, but you can tell people something's good. And I don't know, you know what I mean?
That's actually very interesting, because you're basically saying, well, bitch, I'm the one responsible for the canon, because I told everybody what the canon was. And that, you know, but somebody had to. And that's honestly what you were during that time, because you're right. Nobody else was that focused and concentrated on the vision.
No. And overall, nobody knew what it was. I mean, thinking that I would sell and make big deals in other countries based on names on a page, as opposed to what other people were handing out CDs. Because by that time, even though we had vinyl, there's not places to play vinyl at these big conferences. So it was just like selling something that I believed in and making them believe things that they didn't even hear. It's kind of, that's the way it was. I mean, you know, and it's strange, but that's how it happened. You know, if I have to think back on it, it did happen like that. And then I guess that's why it's been really good that you kind of combed through and found some hidden gems that are out there that other people haven't realized, because they're great records, you know? So it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of music on tracks that, you know, I mean, you know this, because I always try to blanket everything. I don't want people to know what was old and what was new. You make up your mind if you like it. I'm not even going to tell. Remember how many albums we had on the compilations? And I was like, don't tell nobody this is new or that's old. Just let them take it for what it is. And a lot of times, a lot of people didn't know what was what. And I'm still going to be on that. I won't tell you who the new artists are. I won't tell you what the old music is. Just listen to it all.
And I think really people, in most cases, really don't know. They just judge music by what they like, or at least let's say audiences do, you know, and that's the beautiful part about it. Because, I mean, really young kids, they never experienced acid house. So they may think this is the newest, most craziest hip music in the world. Wow, did you listen to that? I never heard anything like it. And it's been around for 35 years. So that's it, you know, that's it. Exposing, you know, a sound and that other people have not heard. And I don't know. I just think like, wow, you know, what we did, how we made those records, how a lot of those records were made on no money, how we make stuff on no money today. And then, you know, it becomes legend. And
it's crazy. I mean, it makes me feel invincible on a day-to-day because I've done so much on nothing.
That's great.
And I have so much self-esteem that was built on, and I say nothing in terms of like monetary, you know, I didn't make like myself, or my self-esteem didn't come from the money that I made. It came from the projects that I did, seeing what happened in the world because I did those things. And, you know, all of that makes me feel richer than I would have had I been a doctor, maybe, and just had all that money for myself.
It's a very special thing, and it does make me feel good. Obviously, it does, or I would have taken money a long time ago, because I get these things like, money, Rachel, money, you need to make money. You have to think about money. This new artist that you're trying to develop, they don't make money, you know? And it's like, but, you know, I have another vision for that. I believe in them, and I believe that they can, and I believe that they will. I mean, right now, it's difficult for all artists because of streaming. We all know that. I hope, and I don't know what it's going to be, but I hope there comes a time in some way that artists can, you know, elevate and make more money. I mean, you know, that we can make them money.
I don't want to necessarily spill the beans on what we're doing with the label and how we're, you know, operating. But what I will say is that what we were really trying to emphasize is that anything is possible so long as you have like-minded people around you who are nice and delusional and you're all pushing together and pushing and pushing and pushing until that damn door is open. And that's it. There's nothing, there's no more secret sauce, nothing else. And that's really what you and I are still working on. And that's just, we have our tribe, our group, and that's it. Anyone who wants to come in and say this and change that, just go away.
Yeah, just go away. And that's the whole thing. Just go away. You think you have a better way, do it yourself. Don't come and try to interfere with what we're doing over here, because this is what we believe in. This is what we're doing. And we don't care what you think is a better way. And even thinking back, like what I keep coming back to is that's how Trax started to begin with. It was never a label that fit in. It was never a label that did anything like anybody else. Never.
I never know what people are like. I have had conversations with people being like, why don't you guys make tracks more like X label of the year? When it was bass music, why don't you make more bass? When it was all that Skrillex stuff, dubstep, do that. It's like everyone always says those. And it's like, you're right. If you go ahead and switch your current, you're going to end up nowhere. Stick to yourself like we have, and you'll be poor and happy.
Well, and sometimes, you know, what happens, and what happened for a lot of the guys that originally made the music that everybody hated, they're making a living, they're touring, they're traveling, they're doing what they're doing, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. And it all came about from music that people said was shit. Some of the biggest producers like Gene McFadden, who did, you know, the Philly sound, McFadden and Whitehead, they were huge, the Backstabbers and Ain't No Stopping Us Now. Like, what the fuck is this garbage? This is not music. This is the kind of things people said about all these songs, like Move Your Body, No Way Back, all that. They thought it was horrible. And now everybody's like, oh my God, everybody's fighting. And it's crazy what really has happened. And hey, but you know, Larry, you know, even though he wasn't the nicest person, he did a lot of things that weren't good. He didn't follow any formula. That's one thing I'll say about him. He didn't follow a formula. He had ears. A lot of these people try to take all the credit for what happened, but they don't deserve it. And he had ears, and he believed in stuff that nobody else did.
Like, would you say that Trax was like Chicago, or that Trax just happened to be in Chicago?
You know,
sometimes I question that, because I feel like we're so at odds with the city sometimes. Like, we're not, like, the vision that occurred here came from wanting to envision a fantasy of something else, almost.
I think that's pretty true, because I don't think that Trax was ever like that accepted or big in its own home. You know, I think it was always other people around the world or people in New York or, you know, who really kind of uplifted us. But, you know, we were never really celebrated the way I think we could have or should have been in our own backyard. But they always say grass is greener on the other side. I don't know. But I think that what happened, if I have to look at it, and even what's happening today, is more a case of, I don't know, some sort of magic, because it wasn't like anything else. It never followed a formula. It still doesn't follow a formula. I'm sure, and I already see it happening, because it's already beginning to happen, that people down the road, they're going to say, oh my God, look at that music that George and Rachel were putting out. It's amazing what they did. It's genius. It's like, we're going to hear that. And, you know, that's where it's going to go. And then, you know, at the time that we're doing it, they don't understand it. And a lot of it is just, I don't know, not following a formula. And when you get into the big people, the puppet masters, the people who are running things, they all follow formulas. But now their formula is don't even listen to music. Look at numbers. Music, don't listen to it. You know, they don't listen to it. They instruct the people that work there. Don't, you know, those people don't listen to anything that comes in. All they do is look at numbers. They look at numbers. They look at a picture of the person, you know. And now with TikTok being what it is, it's like, okay, if they've got all these people on TikTok, then that's a star and that's who we need. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of like with, you know, a lot of DJs being booked. You know, they tell me their struggles, that it's all very superficial. They know they're good DJs, but they can't get the gig because such person who has more followers or something and might be a woman or might be a man who's like attractive is just knocking them. It's like, yeah, but the flip side of that is take your ugly ass, go get a boombox and go through a rave underground like a mole rat and more people will come.
Well, yeah, that's true. And if I think about New York and those outlaw parties, you know, it's very similar how the outlaw parties really started kind of making a name for themselves and just setting up the music wherever. And, you know, you're right. That's the thing. That kind of was what we are still doing, what we did then. And we're not going to really stop because it's all about just following what you believe in. I mean, other people don't have to like it. You're making music you like. And, you know, funny about Zoom Mob and that gig, I got to tell you, he and his friends put that together. And it was the biggest thing they ever did. They didn't know, I mean, imagine, they really did not, even though he plays a lot of gigs in a lot of places, he kind of was more of like a college town DJ, but he has this tight little group that all kind of grew up together and, you know, just sort of like House was in the beginning. And they just fucking did an amazing thing. They had no idea how it was going to turn out. And they can barely believe it themselves, but it just goes to show they did it. I mean, they did it. They made their own audience. They got the people to come. And in fact, it's really too bad that the first day, which wasn't, thank God I wasn't performing that first day, a lot of it was rained out. A lot of it was rained out. You know, it just really hurt what they were trying to do. The second day was excellent. And the night of the first day turned out to be really good too. But, you know, it was supposed to start at like 11 a.m. and really could not really get going because there was practically looked like a hurricane till about 7 p.m.
Yes.
Yeah, it was insane. And they were really scared, like, oh my God, maybe we have to cancel this whole thing. And they didn't know, but I really give it to them because they took a shot on something and they just made it fly. They did an amazing thing.
Yeah, that was incredible because, well, I mean, that just doesn't happen. But that's really what I think what people need to come out with from this podcast, that the mainstream is just taking from the underground and now the underground is pretty much depleted. So the mainstream has nothing to really pull from. So if you're still trying to go and be mainstream, it's kind of like you might as well just go on TikTok, get your audience, I don't know, perform at the parking lot where you live, record it, everything is so much simpler. You don't have to sell your soul. You don't have to do so many things anymore.
You don't. To get to that level. Unless you really want to. I think some people, like when I hear the people say, money, money, you know, money, Rachel, money, money. It's just like, if that is your goal, if money is your goal, don't even go into the music business. Because right now, it's not easy to make a lot of money in the music industry. So I would say, if you only care about money, that's not where you should be, you know? It's just not, because it's at this time, it's just controlled by, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, can just controlled by conglomerates who don't even listen to music. So that's the thing. They don't even listen to music, but they want to run the label. This is you know, the thing. And it's very hard to be into music, but these people, they love what they do, and that's why they stick with us, and we give them a chance, and we believe in their music. If we didn't like their music, we wouldn't put it out.
Right? And that's what we do works. If anyone wants to, what's the secret sauce? Our brain, our instincts, our hearts.
Yeah, it's got it. To me, that's what makes something special. And I think, like what you were saying about little tribes of people everywhere, those are the people that are going to come up with the things that are going to change the world, just like they do. It was like, who said that? Margaret, the woman who, Margaret something, who worked with the chimpanzees and stuff, she said, you know, how it was a small group of people. Usually that's the only way the world is changed, by a small group. Yes. Come together, because it's not these big conglomerates, and they don't change things, but these small groups of people that come together and make a difference, just like the small group that came together and created House, you know, and everybody, you know, everybody used to think it sucked, and you know, it was like, you're not on the Billboard charts, you're not on this, you're not on that, you're not, you know, eventually, you know. It's funny because, like, for the other people that had to be in Billboard, they really had to pay for it. That didn't happen with us. You know what I mean? Billboard, yeah. The things that they've done for me, they did it because they believed in what I was doing and believed in my music.
A lot of this, like, you know, really think about it. Even if you think about May 1986, do you really remember all of the songs on the radio, and do they really, like, hit home because they were the most popular thing in the world? It means nothing. It was a situational, promotional, so all those albums, but where are those songs now?
Yeah.
Are those songs? I don't know what those songs are.
I can't tell you. I can only, you know, think about, like, the track stuff and the difference that it made. I can think about that. And I think that many people can think about that. But then, like you said, there was a time where everybody kind of lost that, you know, lost the whole sense about what tracks was, or, you know, didn't care anything. And then we did all the hard work to make people realize and rebuilt it with new cool artists. So all in all, you know, just...
We won!
Yeah, exactly. Because the people, I mean, you know, against all odds, I mean, my God, you know, it is crazy to think about house music would have been outside of the United States, you know, and not even owned by America. That's like crazy. It's a shame.
Had you not done things that you wanted to do, hip house, stuff you've recorded, there's so many things that just would have not happened.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have even existed. People would not have been able to have a first female recording artist on a house song. Had you not just said, why won't I just sing with these people? Why not? You just took a stab at it, took a chance.
Yeah, and just did it. Did not even realize what I was doing, and did not at the time even understand fantasy myself, because I had been into, you know, punk rock, a much more hardcore type sound. And I can appreciate it now more than I could appreciate it then, because now I can listen to it and say, wow, what I was singing in that song was just you know, the real thing that really happened, you know, about living for this dream. And if you don't have this dream, you might as well die, because this is it. This is your soul. So now I really get it. At the time, you know, I don't know, though. It had some magic about it. We managed to make magic without thinking too hard. And I guess that's what we do. And I've said that to people, too, because they say, well, like, you know, I tell people, when we make a lot of this music, we don't sit there for hours and hours and hours and labor over or go back and say, I got to fix this, I got to fix that. We just make music that comes out of us. And that's the way it is. And the best music comes out of you like that. It just does. I believe that. I believe that all the best music that there is just a natural feeling, not something that's labored over where every little note has to be scrutinized.
Yeah, like one of my favorite projects that we had done was Spirits Rising when we were working on it, I remember. But then the most rewarding thing was that within 2 months, Boyfriend's Remix ended up on a Boiler Room for, I can't remember his name right now. I think it was Addison something. But to see 3,000 fucking people dancing along to Gina when we had just released it and no one else wanted to write about it.
True.
But for us to know that was a capacity meant a lot. Because even to this day, I don't think everyone in the world knows Gina as yet, they did experience it that night at Boiler Room. They all rocked out, and there's videos that night. And the Boiler Room even went as far as taking the recording and uploading it because it was that fun.
And I think that's it, is that people labor over music instead of just doing music that they feel. And some people keep saying to themselves, well, I don't think I should release this because it's not ready yet. It's not ready yet. It's not ready yet. Everything is about it's not ready yet. Well, then, you know, this is like how Move Your Body got re-recorded so many times. And the original recording is the magic, you know?
Yeah, I do know that. I don't think everyone else knows that. I think you should tell them about the re-recordings because they should know that there's 70 versions.
There's so many versions. And what's really funny is Fox TV did a nice piece about House. And it was mostly about Frankie Knuckles. So that was pretty great. But the point of the matter is, here they are playing our version of the, you know, of Move Your Body and accrediting it to DJ International. Now, the DJ International version never went anywhere. It never did. People, and they did a 24-track version that spent a lot more money. And the one that we had was like an 8-track, very like so underground and noise in the background and these things. Why people said about Move Your Body is that is a terrible record. Oh my God. All these things are wrong with it. And then that became the only one that people really loved. And to this day, it has a magic about it. But like I said, you know, even Marshall thought, I got to redo this record, you know, really. Because people were, it's not perfect. It's noisy. It's this, it's that. Many people thought, oh my God, Curtis, his voice, you know, I love it. I love his voice. But it's strange how people felt at the time, you know. And then I remember when Harry the It, you know, did Distant Planet, and, you know, he's talking on all those records. He does the beat poetry. I remember when Run DMC came out to see us and they were checking out this thing, you know, that we were doing. The music was so different than what they were doing, but nonetheless, and they were at the time very well known, and we were still like really underground stuff. But yeah, we had an effect on so many people. It's a great thing to see, and it's great that it just came out of very minimal, you know, minimal money, minimal try again.
And the cool thing really is that you as Rachel have seen this magic in your life 4 times.
Yeah.
I would say if not 5, Space Place, Tracks, the club kids in New York, And then Hip House was another one, even though it was sort of the same, but you've seen
these movements. When we did Hip House, Ikey C, one night when we were performing to a big crowd, instead of saying the word hip house, and now we're talking about in front of a house crowd, right? He said hip hop. They booed him off the stage. He had to leave the stage because during the song, he said hip hop instead of hip house.
Yeah.
Off the stage. Of course, I stayed on and everything was good and people were singing along with me, the hook and all that. But it was so like, oh my God, to a house crowd, you're going to say the word hip hop? No. You know what I mean? It was so like, you're crossing boundaries that you should never cross. And now it's like the biggest thing. Every rapper is doing a hip house.
Well, now we know that the true founder of hip house was David Guetta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know.
Lord, blessed be our savior, Mr. Guetta.
It was funny because I remember that when David Guetta was on some TV show or something, and they called him like the godfather of house, somebody made a Trax record with David Guetta's name on it. And people took it seriously, like we had signed David Guetta and all this stuff, because, you know, they were like sort of saying, like, if he's the godfather of house, he would have to be on Trax, you know? And I was like,
listen, I would not have my, I would not mind working with nobody, even him.
I'd like
because, to. You know, he is a fan. And he, you know, I really value the fact that a children of, I always call our fans the children of the night, but I feel like one of these, one of our children in this sense really went big, kind of like how Cascade did the Super Bowl and he wore the track, you know, like it all means to us something. But I think the problem was that they were using it as a marketing technique to be like, this is why he's the one and he's credible and this and that. And meanwhile, it's like we were right next to you releasing albums at the same time and you were getting those albums and not just him, you know, his team was receiving them and we knew that. So it was a little bit like, well, how are you going to be saying you're the one and this and that while saying you're a fan? It was weird. It but is- we don't hate you, Mr. Guetta. You can always come back and we can make a hit and all's forgiven.
I do like him and I do respect him. And it's funny because I can't even remember what it was, what project it was. But one of the really, really great writers out of New York, I wish I could remember her name because she was pretty well known, basically said something about how, you know, how I did this hip house way before David Guetta and how the most important, you know, songs that came out were like from this album that I had created, not what he had created. So it was kind of cool that, you know, some people do recognize that. Now they have a hip house documentary coming out and I don't think Mambata nor myself are even mentioned.
No, and there's a lot of people in the hip house movement that like, you know, because I know that the archives that are missing, like Jesse Velez is a right. good example.
You're right.
I mean, there's so many, but we'll do our end on that, but you're right.
Yeah, I mean, and I can't believe that people make documentaries and movies about stuff that they don't even know the truth about. They don't, and the truth is out there. It's not like nobody ever wrote this down in a magazine. It's been out there, you know what I mean? It's not like it's like made up or some kind of crap like that. It's real. It's out there. And if they were going to do research, they should know. But it's just like I say about all the house documentaries, even though I have been in most of them, I always say, well, these are people in England that did documentaries about house, but they didn't live it. It would be nice if somebody who lived it, you know, and I guess,
well, that's interesting because you know, you've been in the position too when people just don't want to hear it. Like with this hip house documentary that you presented,
yeah,
like, hey, were. We're here, like, let me talk. And they said, no, you're good, stay at home.
Yeah, they didn't even respond when I wrote to them or even showed them some of the press about it. They just did not respond, period.
I mean, you have the, let's just say you have the archives. So just that alone would have been something to talk about, even if it wasn't about you, you know?
Oh, definitely, you know? And that's the whole thing. It's kind of, well, you know, it's just like, I guess at first house music, there were many people that thought house music was born in England. There were a lot of people that thought that. And to this day, what was it?
When I thought that dance music started off in Europe too before I met you. And I was born and raised here.
Yeah, and when I was at the festival, I was talking to one of the DJs there. And he was really, really cool. I really liked this DJ. But he was saying, isn't house music really from Detroit? I said, no, it isn't. Detroit is techno. They created techno, and Chicago created house. He's like, oh, because I always thought, you know, house was from Detroit. I mean, people really, they don't know the story. More and more people are getting to know it because more and more people are interested in history and things like that. But yeah.
Yeah. The reason we started the podcast in reality was because so many people want to know the story or they want to know a little bit more about it. But when we get to talking to the press or stuff like that, don't talk about it. Oh, we don't care about that. But this is all part of the tapestry of tracks that if we don't talk about it today, people will never hear the story. So even if sometimes we're just here complaining or something, it's because it's a narrative. It's a history of what's been going on with us. And that way it stays forever out there.
I can say one thing. Everybody tells me, don't do those podcasts, Rachel. You're damaging yourself. The stuff you're saying, you're hurting yourself. But I don't think so, because I'm just telling the truth. And I think it's good to know the truth, because ultimately what we're saying is freedom, at least to us, that's the most important thing, you know?
And if you want to be an artist, you have to be making conscientious decisions as to what you want and how you're going to get there, because there's 1,001 ways to get there. And you got to be very well educated on what you're doing, who you're doing it with, why you're doing it, because you'll be played. You'll be played as a talent by people bigger than you who will just use you and then you end up with nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty much the story. And then you'll feel empty inside because you're not really doing what you wanted to do. So you could be sitting on a pile of money but not be happy. And there's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people sitting on piles of money that are very unhappy and that commit suicide and, you know, things like that, because they're just not, I don't know, I guess they're not living their dream or they're not living their passion. Passion. It's really all about the passion.
Yeah. I mean, if you and I are sad and it's about something creative, that's at least our problem because we chose to make the decision, whatever. But it's way different than if you're having to accept someone else's choice.
Oh, God. I can't stand that. It just infuriates me. That everybody wants to tell me I have to follow a formula.
And yeah. The
formula is right. Their formula.
And that spoiled me because the track spirit was already something that I had before that I didn't know was even possible. So us sharing this today hopefully will inspire someone else to be like, yeah, this is possible. I'm going to stick to myself. Stick to your friends. Stick to the people you know. You don't have to go and jump from your little project here and go all the way to Universal. You can take all the little steps and keep it to yourself.
And it's very difficult once you get in that arena. First of all, you probably won't get in that arena unless you've got a few million people on TikTok or Instagram or something. They'll never even like listen to your song to begin with. But if you do get there, you got to think really, really a lot about what's going to really happen to me. What's my future going to be? How am I going to be molded, changed? I don't know. It's tough. I personally don't like it. There's probably people who can live with it and are very good with it. It's just not me. And I keep being told it's all about the money. It's all about the money, but no, it's all about the music.
It's not true. All about the music. Thank God that the music lives within us.
Yeah. It's all about the music and it's all about continuing to show the world great new music that they might not ever get to hear, and they will get to hear it because at least Trax has a name that a lot of people will look at what we do. So we'll open some doors, and it does get gigs for a lot of our artists. And, you know, and I'm finding out that I'm sure that, you know, it's a matter of us putting ourselves out there or at least linking up with people who can do that part. We're kind of building teams of people who can do various things. And now I guess we need to find a team that's really interested in concert promotion, you know?
Yes.
So if you're out there and you're a young aspiring, or even if you're not young, whatever age you are, or whatever race you are, or wherever you come from, if you're thinking, hey, I really would like to promote a great show like this, then we want to hear from you. Because
yeah, and anybody who's young and has, even if it's like, I, how do I run my business? How do I become this or that? Just write to us, put it in the comments. Even if we can't come up with an answer, we will at least acknowledge it. And you never know, the world is so big. If you do not ask, it will never come true.
That's true. You have to ask for whatever you want, you know, in this world. And you have to, I think that visualization and believing in things, you know, because I know long before I ever was involved with tracks, I, you know, even when I lived in New York, I always thought, oh man, I love to be, you know, to take tracks to the next level because I really believe in it, you know, because after I left, I basically, you know, did what I did with tracks, left, and then came back because I really believed in what it could be and still believe in what it can be and don't believe that I should just, you know, people are telling me now, forget all these new artists. Don't even, they're not, you know, unless you're going to go out there and you're going to, you know, find some TikTok person, don't even bother. Don't even waste your time. But I just can't do that. So, you know, that's not me.
You sound so boring. Oh my God.
It is. I just find it unbelievable. And then I'm really glad to do off the wall music because some of the music I do is, I don't know. I don't try to be commercial at all. If it's commercial, it just is. It's not what I'm trying to be. I'm not trying to be anything. And if I'm doing something really off the wall, it just is because I love that at the time. Whatever it is I'm doing, I'm just doing it. I don't follow an agenda.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's been the only way that we've been able to get through it, at least for us. I don't know if someone else has a success story where they were able to do otherwise. I mean, share that. But for us, it's just been sticking to our guns.
And then when you stick to your guns and you finally get everything in place, or you think you do, everybody wants it. So it's a strange world out there, you know, because.
Yeah. When I was the creative director at Trax, which was only a title I gave myself because I needed something to put in an email. Remember how many people disliked me and I didn't even know them?
Yeah, well.
And that's because they wanted Trax. And then you told me one day, oh, it's because you want, they all hate you because they want to be you. And I'm like, well, I don't even know who these people are.
They want to be you.
And I'm like, huh?
I know, that's really true. There's a lot of that. Oh, they're having a report on the TV, so you hear the noise in the background. That's okay. There's some kind
of. Oh, can you hear it?
We don't
really. No, I love it. And I can't wait for the rest of the year to keep progressing. It's just going to get bigger and better. We're going to be at ADE this year in October. We're getting our showcases ready.
Yeah.
Your album's coming out. You've had amazing press. All these artists are just like blowing the fuck up. Italy is blowing up the scene down there with D-Beats. And it's just incredible. And everyone who's watching this, just be prepared. Because, you know, the storm is really coming.
Yeah, be prepared and be sure to, like, you know, check out some of our new stuff and a lot of the new artists, and look out for my new album. It's going to have some really cool cuts on it, and it's going to have a lot of unexpected things on it. I really feel that Acid album, where you picked a couple songs from it, was so overlooked. You know what I mean? But I didn't even promote it myself. So there you go. It was something I did that I just did it. Didn't really, probably, you know, something I did that I should have really focused on and said, hey, this is really great. It took you pointing it out to me to listen to my own songs, because sometimes I just make them and I don't necessarily listen to them. You know what I mean? I make them and I'm doing them. I'm in the moment doing them, but then I'm not, you know. And then when you played them for me, it was like, wow, I really like this. This is great. You know?
You said, this is me? Yeah. She sounds great. I want her on tracks.
This is from my album? This is from, oh, really? Yeah, because you were playing that and it had that really cool riff.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, what is that from? He said, that's your song. So there you go. It's, sometimes that's the way it is.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. Everyone, like, just keep an eye out and just keep your spirits up. Nothing can remove us from this earth if it's not taken away from us.
Yeah,
that's really how it goes.
Yeah, don't let anybody get in your way. You know, and that whole thing, like I said, in the International Women's Day. But whether you're trans or whether you're gay, whether you're straight, whether you're old, whether you're young, don't let anybody try to put you in a box. Don't let anybody tell you what you can or cannot do. And with that, maybe we, what do you think? Have we said it? I think we have.
I think so. I think we have.
Follow your own dream.
It's better than following anyone else's, for real.
Sure is.
It's so enriching to live the way we live. Honestly, I mean, we have hard lives. We don't have it all. And I'm not saying that it's like rosy and we have everything, but it feels beautiful to wake up every day and know that it's coming from here, just here. No limits, no control. It's like we're just raw, living raw. It's like,
I love
it's,
that. No limits. No limits. That's so what I believe in. That's just it. I cannot have people telling me not to do this or not to like this music or make music like this. So I think all in all, today's podcast is about creative freedom.
Freedom. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom. Because, you know, even if you're not a creative, if you in your life don't feel free, you got to look at why you don't feel free, because a lot of the times you could potentially be keeping yourself from feeling that freedom.
Yeah. You know, you may be putting yourself in your own cage. So break free from that cage. You can do it.
To God. Live long, live strong, forever house, forever us.
Yeah.
It's another podcast.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. Well, I think we say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.